Welcome in everybody to the iPhone Users Group for VIP. This is May 14th, 2025. You know, the time's going by so fast, I thought it was June already. Not too much in Apple news. I know that they're starting to talk about Apple accessibility in the new iOS versions coming later this fall. So it does sound promising. David Goldfield put out an email earlier today, and I was looking into it, about AI live and with camera access. Okay, well, I have Gemini AI on my phone, so I went in there and I tried to find, you know, where can I turn the camera on. My Gemini AI does not have camera access, and I don't see anywhere to put it on. So it must be an update or a different app that he's talking about. But what he was doing with it sounds really interesting. He was using it to identify objects, plants, and different things. I found that very interesting. However, it doesn't work on my phone. And also, does anybody here, and this is a discussion that is, you know, can be discussed over and over again, is whether or not you use Hey Siri or just Siri. And then if you, wait a minute, okay. I have Hey Siri on one device, but not another. Interesting. But, and do you use the Shortcuts app? So I'm going to release the key for comments and whatever you want to talk about. The floor is now open to the group.
Well, I use Hey Siri. Not just toward Siri. I think that's a new thing. I'm not sure. And with the live AI, the one I know about is with the Meta glasses, which I am thinking of getting. I belong on a Facebook group for Meta glasses. And one guy's talking about, like, he even used it at an airport so he could find his gate, you know, because it is live. It doesn't take a picture. It's always on. So you can say, you know, what gate am I at, or which way, you know, it'll read like airport signs and stuff. You can have a conversation with it, and it seems really cool.
Okay, I use just plain Siri, and I am going to digress for just a minute. This is just me speaking and nobody else. iOS 18.5 was released yesterday, and I did update. I'm not having any problems. I would urge you to update. The reason being, here a week or so ago, I saw an article on a security site that there is a bug in the Apple AirPlay, you know, that allows you to put two iPhones near to each other and exchange information between them. There's a bug in that the hackers have gotten into. And if I have a feeling this iOS 18.5 probably is working on correcting that, but be aware, you know, that's, you probably want an update just for that security update, if nothing else.
And would you repeat that? It's 18.5.
It's iOS 18.5 is the last one. It came out yesterday.
That's good information to know. I think I'm going to update because I'm due to go to the ACB convention Friday, so I'm going to be among a lot of iPhones, so it might be a good idea to go ahead and update.
Yeah, I did it about an hour ago, and it went very smoothly. I played around a little bit with it in the Mail app, and it seems to be working quite well.
Yeah, I have not seen any problems with it at all. And if you're going to be there, Cheryl, I definitely update it.
So what does it say other than the security patch? What does the 18.5 offer?
I think there's some basic, you know, features like a different wallpaper and things like that, you know, that are in there that don't mean much to us. I didn't notice anything particular, especially that got me all excited.
Yeah, that's pretty a lot of aesthetic improvement. Hank, you were talking about wanting to get the Meta glasses, and you know they sound really neat. And I know Terry has a pair, and he enjoys his. My only hesitation is they are tied to Facebook. I don't have anything against Facebook, but I don't want to be tied to them in that way. So that's my hesitation in getting anything like that. And there's another, there's actually several companies that are getting on the bandwagon as far as the Google Glass and then this Agiga, I think it's one, and face recognition or face description is one of the features in the Agiga version. They'll actually describe the person to you, whereas Meta, because of the privacy issues, they will not. So if that's something that's important to you, you might want to consider not doing that. But I know that Meta is considering reviewing their privacy policies in order to maybe make that possible in the future.
Which is interesting that they say it's a privacy issue, whereas a sighted person can just look at a person and see what they look like. So it's not they're not giving away social security numbers or addresses or anything like that. You know what I mean? They're just describing what everybody else in the world can see. I never understood why they are like that.
It makes no sense to me either, because you can post pictures on Facebook. I mean, so you can look at all the pictures to your heart's content, but we can't have a description of what somebody looks like. It makes no sense.
I thought I saw something the other day from David Goldfield that they're coming out where they're going to offer, you'll be able to identify somebody. Like I can say, this is Cheryl Spencer. And then from then on, it would identify you as Cheryl Spencer. I think that's in the next, coming up here right away.
It will do that, but it won't describe me, say, I'm wearing pink glasses with dark frames, or, you know, it won't describe the color of my hair, or I don't know if it will probably describe the clothes I'm wearing, but it won't describe anything else. And maybe that's a good thing. I don't know.
Okay, I see. I didn't quite follow what you were getting at there.
Yeah, because you can say from now on, you know, if you know who's standing in front of you, you can tell it from now on, recognize this person as my brother, my mother, my father, my sister, you know.
How did you find out about Meta glasses being connected with Facebook? Because I've never heard that except from you.
Meta is Facebook. You have to have a Facebook account.
Oh, you do? Okay.
See, I didn't think you did. You have to have the MetaView app on your phone. But I didn't think you had, because I'm not on Facebook either. I don't have the glasses either. But I didn't think you had to be necessarily on Facebook. You just have to have that app on your phone.
That was my understanding in the very beginning, and that's why I kind of poo-pooed it. I didn't want to do that because of that. I didn't want to be tied to Facebook. But when you get the MetaView, and Terry can probably speak more to this because he has the Meta, didn't you have to sign into your Facebook account when you downloaded the MetaView app, Terry?
That is sure he can if he's paying attention.
Must be talking to me because I was playing with my glasses. What?
They were asking about being tied to Facebook. Did you not have to sign into your Facebook account when you downloaded your MetaView?
I don't think so. I'm not sure, though. It's been so long. I don't know. You know, I kind of wonder if I may have, because I can make calls on Messenger, and I can make video calls using it. So I must have somehow. Well, if it goes into my glasses, though, it probably uses my, or my phone, I mean. So it probably uses my phone, so I probably don't have to.
Okay. Well, somebody can do the research on that. I mean, maybe it's changed, but that was my understanding that Meta Glasses is a Facebook product. It's named for the Metaverse, Meta Glasses. And even when you used Aira, you have to go through WhatsApp, which is also a Facebook product. So that's just my reservation about that whole thing. Not that I have anything against Facebook. I have Facebook, and I go on there all the time. I don't know what it is about that shies me away from that, but it does.
Back to your original question. I do use Hey Siri, and you asked something else in conjunction with that. Do you remember what it was?
Yeah, if you use shortcuts with it. So I think 2 weeks ago we were talking about how you can set up the shortcuts to utilize the Hey Siri action.
Yeah, okay. I use the shortcut to the currency identifier in Seeing AI. So I just say that phrase, and then I say, check this bill. And it automatically opens it up to the currency channel. And it starts identifying bills within about 10 seconds. That's really cool.
That is super cool. Do you know if you can do multiple shortcuts with that one app, or do you have to pick one that you want? So say you can select the currency reader, you can select the read text, short text. Do you know if you can do more than one?
I've got mine set up with my Chase app. So I just say, Siri, pay my credit card. It takes me to the exact spot in the app where I need to go.
That's cool. So how did you set that up?
I don't know, Cheryl. I've never tried multiple channels with the shortcuts.
Okay, I'm only talking about the Chase app. Here a while back when I was paying my Chase bill, I got in there, and when I got right near the end of paying my Chase bill and made the payment, there was an option there. Create Siri shortcut. And all I had to do was double tap on it and do it.
Now, that's cool. I think PayPal has something similar to that. But I kind of thought I set it up, but I'm not sure. Is there a way you can go into your shortcut app and see what shortcuts are actually initiated in there?
You should be able to see what's initiated in there. I use shortcuts, but only so far I've only used kind of like what he was talking about, the Chase app. Like last week, 2 weeks ago, we talked about the Be My Eyes, Describe Quickly with Be My Eyes is one. I think my bank does it. And I wouldn't call it a shortcut, but we also talked about, I do it with Venmo and Apple Pay, where I just, say, hey, lady, pay so-and-so so many dollars through Venmo. I'm not sure that's a shortcut, or you're just basically telling Siri to do something.
I only did one shortcut a long time ago, and that was that it tells me when my battery level is at, I think it says 70%. Just to give me an idea where my battery is. Like that. And I want to change that because I think you can put it lower than that. But I was never really too sure how to set shortcuts up. I did it the one time. I think I was on one of the community calls when they were walking people through it. And so I played with it. But yeah, I haven't done it that much.
Yeah, I have a shortcut set up to my money app. And I just say, hold a button and say money, or I say, hey Siri, open money, and it takes me right in there. So
it doesn't look like you have an app named money. You can search for it in the App Store.
Oh, shut up.
Siri.
That'll teach you the username.
I thought she was going to tell you you didn't have any money.
Well, wouldn't you say something different? If you were in public, you wouldn't want to say that because you'd have all these people buzzing around you. It's like, yeah, yeah.
Now, I don't have Siri or Hey Siri set up on mine. If I want to ask her something, I just have the phone in my hand and press the button in so that it hopefully is not listening to everything.
Well, I just figured if I said money, they'd all hand me money.
Oh, here's $5. Where's my tin cup when I need it?
Yeah.
All right. Does anybody have any questions? Anybody having any struggles with their iPhone? Any issues?
I still have that stupid app library that pops up all the time, and I can't get rid of it no matter what I do. I press the home button, and it goes to my home screen that I set up for about 2 seconds. And then it goes back to that stupid app library.
Okay, I've gotten it too, Mar, and I've done a couple of different things. One, I would ask the Siri to open another app, get in the app that way, then close it out, and then go down to the dock and refocus. And another way is if you hear it flipping into the app library, hit the home button. Try to see if you're on the page list. It'll be 10, mine's up to 10 pages. It'll be the last page where the library is and start flicking down and get off that last page because it'll flip right into that. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, I think it does. I know that app library is the last page, but I sure wish there was a way you could disable it. Because, I mean, if I wanted things organized the way they organized it, I wouldn't have organized it my way. I just don't like being told how to organize my stuff.
I agree. I wish there was a way you can delete I don't think you can delete the folder and all the apps within it. I wouldn't. That would scare me.
Well, I just wish there was a way you could disable that app library feature.
You just made me think of something, Spence. If the library is like page 10 of 10, because you have 10 pages. So if you go to home and you end up in the app library, what if you just go to home again? Because if I'm, like, say, on page 3 or something, I open an app and I close it, you know, just hit the home button, it takes me back to page 3. And if I hit the home button again, because I still have a button, then I go to page 1. So what if you were to, you know, swipe up to home, go to the library and swipe up to home again? Would that work?
I can't tell you what I did, but I can't remember the last time I've been taken to the app library. My phone just does not do that, and I don't know why it doesn't.
When I go to home, it lands me right on the app store.
I can press home, and mine will go to home, like I said, for about 10 seconds. But then it goes back to that app library, and I just can't see. And it's also very frustrating when I'm trying to close an app, and the app switcher, it won't go to the app switcher. It just goes back to the app library, and I can't get out of it.
Well, I don't have a clue why it's doing that, Mark, because mine definitely does not.
Now, I've had issues with the app switcher before I did the update today, where it just sometimes, I have the back tap, you know, it is my how I get to my app switcher. And sometimes it worked and sometimes it didn't. Now, I hope that improves with this new update, but that's annoying.
Well, within the last week, about 3 times, my text, when I get a text, it wouldn't make any sort of noise. used to it gave me a sound, and then it started just telling me who my text was from and what they said. And of course, I'd have to play it over because I might be in another room or whatever. But anyway, this week, it wouldn't make any sound at all. And somebody would call and say, well, I sent you a text. Well, it didn't show up. Then yesterday, it wouldn't even, when I got a phone call, it wouldn't even ring. Now I think it sent people to voicemail or something. So anyway, I went in and I found some buttons I hadn't seen before, and I pressed them, and it looked like it was working. So I did text my sister, and I said, please give me a call to see if my phone rings or not, because I was out and waiting on transportation, and they were supposed to call me. So have you all had that situation?
One thing I strongly recommend is if your phone starts acting squirrely, which once in a while they will, is do a restart at that point. Just do a restart right then and there. And you can just tell the you-know-who to restart phone. And she'll say, let me verify this. You want to restart this device? And say, yes. And it'll restart it. And that oftentimes will fix a lot of stuff.
Okay, but don't mean to go back, but I just searched for the library thing. This may help Mara. I don't know.
Volume. List of four items. 1. Open settings home screen. 2. Under newly downloaded apps, select add to home screen. 3. Under notification badges, turn off show in app library. 4. Unhide all your home screens to avoid accidentally swiping into the app library. List end.
That make any sense?
That's pretty close to what I was going to do, because here's my settings. That's just... That's all the options I have. I don't have anything about hide. I don't have anything about hide apps. Where do you see that?
And Cheryl, we couldn't hear yours at all if you were wanting us to hear your settings and whatever.
Yep, I was about to say the same. Couldn't hear your phone.
Well, isn't that weird? Because I have it on voice. I wonder if the mic is canceling the sound. But it just says showing home screen on. And then, show an app library, have that off. Show an home screen on. And that's it. But I don't see anything about having anything to do with hide the apps, whatever.
Maybe those settings you got work. That time I could hear it. It was quiet, but I could hear it that time. The first time I could hear it too, but it was so quiet I couldn't tell what it was saying.
Now, I've had the thing sort of what Susie was talking about, texts. I find people will tell me they sent me a text, but it takes forever for me to get it. I get it eventually, but not right away. And I'm right, I'm often right by my phone. So, yeah, that's a weird thing, too.
I used to have that problem. I think it could be the network or something, because somebody would pick me up. I'd hear them pull in the driveway. I get in the car. We'd drive, be a few blocks away. Then my phone would ping, and I'd get the text message from the person driving, say, hey, I'm in your driveway. It's like I'm already in the car halfway to my destination by the time I get it. And as far as the ringing and phone call, it could be as accidental as you have mute on or do not disturb, or go into sound and display and check that your ringer volume is turned up and that the control button with buttons is off.
Wait, say that again. Because I was thinking about Uber. I'd get texts from them saying my car was on its way and I'd already been home 15 minutes.
Wow, that's really delayed. As far as the ringer goes, one mute, which you know what that is. Obviously, it's not going to ring. Do not disturb might be on by accident. Some people do that. I never used it, so I don't even know where to go find that setting. And the other one is under sounds. I think it's sounds and haptics, not sound and displays. You could check your ringer or notification volumes, like your ringer volume. Make sure that hasn't been turned down. And right next to it is control with buttons, meaning your volume buttons. So if you set it for 80% and you turn the volume down with the buttons will not turn down the volume of the ringer. It'll stay at 80%. That's why you want that off. Otherwise, if you turn, like say you got a book going and you turn down the book, the ringer is also going to turn down on you if you have that buttons on.
Okay, thanks. No, I don't have any books on my phone. I figure I don't need to push it.
I was having that happen too, where the volume went down like last week. And sure enough, I went to the sounds and haptics and it was way down. And I thought, I didn't do that. So it's up now. Yeah, it does things by itself sometimes, and it drives you crazy.
Well, I think something that showed up on mine was Do Not Disturb, and I have never used that feature, but it just popped up. So that very well may have been one of the factors, too.
One of the things that I have done, and I've had this in effect for about 2 weeks now, and I'm really enjoying it, I have muted the sounds on my phone because I'd be talking to Wayne or somebody, and then all of a sudden the notifications would come through, and I've got the phone attached to my headset, so it would just drive me crazy. Yeah, I could probably turn speech off, but I was, and I've done that too. But with the phone muted, I can still access the voiceover. It still talks. And then when somebody calls me, the phone still rings in my hearing aid. So I thought, well, now I have my phones forwarded to the house phone, so I don't even get called anymore. So that's kind of nice, too. Wayne is my secretary. He answers all my calls now. But anyway, being without the notification has really been a break for me. I enjoy that.
Yeah, whenever I make a call or receive a call, first thing I do is turn the voiceover off, the three-finger double tap.
Yeah, I do that too because I've had a few times when I was talking to somebody and all of a sudden, here comes these loud announcements.
But if I'm anywhere near my phone and I get a message, it's a long vibration. That. So I know, I've got a message, so I check it. And then these short vibrations are the notifications that I don't really want to pay attention to. So that's kind of cool, too, that I know the difference between the vibration pattern.
Okay, where do you find the vibration patterns?
It's in settings. You should have vibrations on. Does your phone not vibrate?
It has.
I think it's also in settings under voiceover, under haptics. Somebody back me up on that.
It should be haptics because that's kind of what that means. And I think her question, well, it is mine, but I think what she was asking is, because everybody's phones vibrate by default, is did you set up that long vibration for the text message and then the short ones are just like, say, notifications like Facebook or like that? Or is that the default vibration for text messages?
It must be the default vibration because I never set anything up. I just happened to notice that when a long wave vibration came in, I thought, oh, I got a text. So now I know to check it.
Okay, in that same vein, can you adjust the intensity of the vibration? I don't want that to sound tacky, but, you know, if it's in your pocket, yeah, you're going to feel it more. But if it's in a purse, and it's in your lap, you're probably going to feel it. But if you got a lot of junk sitting around it, you might not.
Yeah, you do definitely feel it through. Usually I have my phone in my pocket and I feel it. So I forgot what else.
I'll double check, but I believe you can adjust the intensity of the vibrations.
It goes from very light to very heavy.
Okay, good. Thank you.
One problem that I am having that is really annoying me is when I read email, and I think I've said this before about how some of my email messages go into the archive box on my phone, and then some of them go into the inbox on my phone. And of course, I can also pick them up with Thunderbird on my computer. Well, either way, when I delete them, especially on my phone, and I put them in trash, and then I delete the trash after a session of reading a bunch of emails, I come back the next day to read email again, and they're all back.
They're all back on your phone or back in Thunderbird?
Pretty much on my phone.
I don't have that problem. I have mail exclusively on my phone. I'm using the native mail app. Are you using Thunderbird on your phone?
No. I think it's the native mail.
This is just a thought, but do you maybe have it set up to save that stuff to the cloud? And it's doing that, and then when the next day it re-downloads it again?
I think there might be a setting in Thunderbird that you can turn that off so that when you delete it, it deletes it from the server too, because if you don't turn it off, I think it will come back.
Well, I've looked all around in the mail settings on the iPhone and even in Thunderbird, and I see nothing that talks about how, you know, what happens when you delete. I mean, it's basically, you know, that when you exit Thunderbird, the messages go away, and they pretty much do, but they still come back up on the phone. And I don't see any settings on the phone to talk about, you know, you just figure once you put them in trash and you delete the trash folder, it should be done. And I don't know what else to do.
Yeah, that is weird. I do remember setting with that with Outlook or Thunderbird. I think it was Outlook when I did it. Where it says if you delete on one device, you delete it off the server as well, because you could set it up to where you leave a copy on the server. So yeah, when you reopen up the mail app, it's probably seeing it like it was new because it's not synced up. So it says, oh, there's email there and it's not here. Let me bring it over. But I've never had that problem. So I don't know. What email are you using as far as like a Gmail, or do you have an iCloud email? Or that might be, you might need to go to gmail.com and see if there's a setting there for that, or iCloud, or whatever. I don't know what email you have.
I think it might have Hank triggered the word sync. I think that's what you might want to be looking for, is your Thunderbird is probably syncing to other devices. So if you delete it on Thunderbird or something, it's already on your phone and vice versa.
As I said before, this may not be what's going on, but go in on your phone, go to settings, go to your name, to go to iCloud, and if you keep going down, you'll find a list of choices as to what it's saving to the cloud. And if it's saving those to the cloud, you can uncheck that and see if it makes a difference.
Okay, that sounds good. Thank you, Parker. Yeah, it's the Thunderbird settings thing is really weird to try to get anything done there. But and then on the mail settings for the iPhone, you know, it really doesn't have anything about, you know, saving it or whatever, unless I'm not looking in the right place there. But okay, I will try that.
Back to the messages thing for a little bit. I've had a thing. I have a friend, and she and I message back and forth about transportation to church and stuff. And I have sent messages to her, and she sent them back to me, and they go to my email. Even though it's a text message, it goes to email from her number.
Now that's different. I have not heard of that. Because if it's responding to a text, you'd think it would be another text.
I'm sorry, Mara. I was trying to look for the mail solution. What was your question?
I was saying that I have a friend that drives us to church, and I text back and forth to her a lot. And sometimes if she sends me a text message, like one time she sent me a text message saying that she wasn't feeling good and she wasn't going to be able to go to an event at church. Well, she called me up and she said, "Didn't you get my text?" And I said, "No." And I looked in my email later on and there it was, a message from her number, like an attachment.
What type of phone is she using?
She has an Android. But, I mean, I've texted her back and forth numerous times. So there was no reason why that should have happened.
That is odd, unless she vocalized email, mail, send, you know, a message to you, and she did it. And the phone just sent you an email. That's the only way I can think that may have happened.
Now, I know, because I've done it before, sent somebody a text message from my email client. That's possible, but I don't know. The other way around, I'm not sure. Probably can if they do a reply to it. I don't know.
All right, Terry, I've never done that. How do you send a text message from your email client?
I don't know. It's been a long time. You just go to Google and say, "How do I send a text message to someone from my email account?" And it will tell you somewhere there.
I think I may have the instructions for that someplace, but I have to look and see.
I may have given it to you because I used to do it. Some things were kind of neat to be able to do that, to like forward something to somebody. It uses text message a lot more than they do email.
I know that you can go into their contact card on in the mail client, and one of the options is to send message. But, I wonder if that's how you did it.
I was doing something else. Who is it that wants it? If I can find it, I'll send it to you.
I did all on the computer, nothing by phone. So. Because that's kind of going out of the category of iPhones. I sent it from my computer to an iPhone.
That's pretty neat. Well, I don't have email on my computer, so that wouldn't work for me. But yeah, that would be good information to send it out on the iPhone users group list.
Gee, I think I remember how to do that. Okay.
Of course, it's different for each email. You have to have a certain email address to different people now. Like Verizon, it would be their name or something. I can't remember, at Verizon. And it has some letters, I think, that kind of detects on where it's going to go to. I don't know. Like I say, it's been a long time.
Yeah, that's the one thing I do remember about it. You did have to include the carrier.
Sorry, I had to step away for a minute. I had a phone call from my energy company. Did you guys resolve the text message going to email thing?
We were just talking about how that's even done. So, yeah, it sounds like it's pretty complicated.
I like this class because it makes me think about stuff I haven't done in a while. There is a setting, although it doesn't make sense that it's incoming. It's more outgoing. But there is a setting, I think, under it's either phone or something, where it asks you, you know, what your primary like message. Do you want to send it as an email, you know, with your email address or your phone number or something like that? So I wonder if that's checked under email, so it's sending it to the email instead of to the text message. You know what I'm talking about? I know it's very vague, but I haven't done it in a long time.
Well, I would say that might be the case, but it's sporadic. I mean, like, sometimes she can send me messages and it'll go right to my messaging just fine, and other times, it'll go to my email. But there's no rhyme or reason to why or when it happens.
If she's got an Android phone, that might be it. Because I know a couple members of my family have Android phones. And they're the way that you get stuff from them is erratic. Sometimes it works fine and sometimes it will not work.
That could be it there, too. So might be on their end or something, or the communications. Even though I think they're supposed to be fixing that. I don't know if it's already supposed to be in there, or maybe this fall, where I guess they're going to have a more unified text messaging service between all the phones.
Well, all of the people that I know, except the blind people around here, have Android phones. And just about all of our church friends have Android phones.
Yeah, a person that I have trouble getting texts from has one of those track phones. I don't know if that's Android or not. It probably is. And I know that's where a lot of the messages are delayed or whatever.
But my roommate, she has one of those blind shell phones. And we've practiced sending messages back and forth. And, of course, that's the Android platform. And they go back and forth just fine.
You know, as far as the mail goes, for your iPhone, I had a really bad problem. You know, when your messages are threaded and they reply, I had a hard time getting to the original message and then reading the reply. So I just took the threading off, and so each message comes as an individual email, and I can read that a lot better.
That's what I did. I don't like the threading, even on Thunderbird, because then I get confused. It's like, you know, when did this come in? Or looks like one long email, and then you don't know what's read and not read, and then you got to find a previous message button, and I don't know. I just move faster with it, non-threaded. Quick question. Does she or he, I don't remember what you said or if you said, like the blind shell? Have you played with it at all? Is it pretty cool? Is the iPhone still like a better choice? I'm assuming it's more of a simpler phone, right?
It is. She loves it. She loves using Shazam on it. And she, yeah, she really loves it. It works a lot better for her than the flat screen environment.
Yeah, if I had Bluetooth and a keyboard to it, I might have had a better experience, but that was nothing but frustration for me.
Well, actually, when I put contacts in, that's what I did. I did Bluetooth a Braille display with a keyboard to it, and I put things like that, email addresses and things like that, in there that way, because it was so much easier.
I know when I was putting the contact for myself and when Wayne had the phone, I ended up being Cheryl G. Spencer. I couldn't take the G out. It's like, man, I don't know how to erase that.
Well, it's because it was saying Cheryl Terrific Spencer, and I didn't want to take Terrific out.
Well, it was just, yeah. I said, no, I went back to my iPhone. I was trying to get Be My Eyes to work on his phone, and I just couldn't find the take picture button. Did you get it to work on there, Mar?
I think I did. We haven't used it since she's taken over the phone, but I've still got the other one. And I think that you can use without, you can just have a Wi-Fi thing. So, because I don't have a carrier connected with the other one right now.
Well, if you don't want a lot of, you know, it's a good phone. I mean, it's got a good speaker and everything in it. It's, you know, but if you do a lot of texting, stuff like that, you need either a Bluetooth keyboard or something.
Well, you can talk to it. Send a text that way.
Are you thinking about getting a blind shell there, Hank? Somebody's not paying attention.
No, I wasn't expecting to be asked the question right away. I'm pacing like I normally do. So I was like, well, at the other end of the house. No, I was just curious because I've heard about them. I mean, a while ago, I thought about them. Now I'm so into the ecosystem of the Apple phone. I would have to like buy and download all kinds of apps again. So I was just curious. I'm not even sure what they look like. I know few people bought them, or, you know, they sell them on Blind Mice. So I was just curious about them, like what kind of a phone it was, or if they were good, or they, you know, they were easy to use.
Yeah, they're pretty basic, but they have, you know, some functionality to it. So you guys remember about a month and a half ago, Hank was gonna get a new iPhone. Hank, what kind of iPhone did you get?
I think I remember something about that.
It was a different Hank, right?
I never said that. I don't know who you're talking about.
I think we have it recorded somewhere, don't we, Terry?
Yeah, it's up in the archive. Uh-oh, you got caught, Hank.
We do. It's recorded.
Unless it's one of those weeks I missed. There's only one or two of those.
I just had to bust his chops because we're still waiting on that new iPhone.
I guess the Shell Phone 3 has a touchscreen somehow, so you can use the touchscreen and the buttons so that you can use third-party apps that require a touchscreen. But to me, that's kind of defeating the purpose of the Shell Phone.
Yeah, they want a lot of money. They want more money for that 3 than the 16E.
I have probably said this before, but one of the capabilities about the iPhone I absolutely love is you can set that thing to go on Do Not Disturb by location. Like when I walk into my doctor's offices, it automatically goes to Do Not Disturb. I don't have to mess with turning it on and off and all that. Boy, that is one of the neat things about it.
That is neat, and it would work for me if I didn't need the phone for transportation. So that would kind of counteract to what I would need it for. But if I was like, I think Friday when I'm doing that little panel thing, I'll probably put it on Do Not Disturb. And I know the address of the hotel, so I can probably do that. At least for the time that I need it to, then I can go in and turn it off.
That is a pretty cool feature, like you said, for a doctor's office. And then when you leave, it automatically turns the Do Not Disturb back off. So you're back online without, because I know a lot of people that turn it on, then they forget. And it's like you call in, it's like, oh, yeah, I had to put my phone on Do Not Disturb last night to go to sleep. And, it's like 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and it's still on. Oh, I never turned it back off.
See, that was me, Hank. This is why I love that, because I do that same thing. I go to the doctor, I turn it on Do Not Disturb, and leave and forget to turn it back off. This the minute you leave that location, it goes off.
How do you do that?
There is, Parker can tell you better about it, but I think it's that in the, hey, Allie, welcome in. Is that in the focus area?
It is. All right, Susie, are you on the iPhone users list? I can send the instructions out to it. I've got the instructions written up.
Yeah, you put me on it last night. Are you going to? I think you did it last night.
No, that was the gamers list. This is a different one. This is the iPhone users list.
I think I'm on it.
You know, it wouldn't hurt for us to have a refresher, so you can go ahead and resend that if you would, Parker. That would be great information for us to, have. And this time I'm going to save it.
Did you... So did you get the email? When did it go out? Yeah, today, earlier today or yesterday, about today's iPhone group at 3 o'clock? If you got that email, then you're already added to the group.
Oh, well, you weren't here when I was telling it. I have email on my laptop, and for some reason my laptop is not working today, and I don't have email on this little computer, so... I don't know.
Susie, I can check to see if you're on the iPhone users list. If you're not, do you want me to put you on it?
Yes, please.
I can do that. And then I will send that out on the list after I check on Susie.
I tried that focus thing for our church, and it didn't work. It didn't go on Do Not Disturb.
If it didn't, you did something wrong then, Marcus. I've got it on 3 different locations. It works perfectly.
There might be a done button or something that you have to finalize it with.
Cheryl, we lost you. Your audio is not working good.
Can you not hear me?
Can now.
Yeah, now we can. The first time you were like really quiet. I was about to key up and say, find your microphone.
You're back.
Interesting. Because I'm thinking about using this as my work headset. I'm just trying it out on here. Because the other one has some kind of latency issue. But it's, I don't know. I'm playing headset, musical headsets lately. All right, well, it's coming close to the end of the hour. I want to thank everybody for coming. This hour went by so fast. I love how we discuss everything and just bounce ideas off of each other. And, hopefully we help each other, solve issues. And we'll do it again in 2 weeks. I really appreciate everybody for coming. Thank you so much.